The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
One doesn't have to be brilliant to attempt a coup.
I disagree with that. As somebody who has helped plan coup d'etat, not here, but, you know, other places, it takes a lot of work.
And I believe the sniper that seen these and sent the pictures is right inside this building. Michelle, is Greg in there? All right, so if you go to that window that's open and yell for Greg, that's the sniper that sent the original pictures and seen him come from the bike and set the book back down and then lost sight of him.
Okay.
He's the one that sent the pictures out. I don't know if you got the same ones I did.
I think I did, yeah. He's like got his glasses on and he's...
That's John Bolton's mustache there at the start, talking about how much work goes into planning a coup. He brags about it, I guess. Just a passing remark. No controversy in that at all. And yet there's the second bit of that cold open. That's the roof on which they killed the shooter. And of course, they're looking back. You see the red circle? That's the window. That's the window that the counter snipers were looking out from. That is the window that they saw. They took pictures of Crooks from that window 90 minutes before he fired on Trump. 90 minutes. Then they lost track. Then the snipers evidently were not at the window. There were police all along the second floor area there. But they just weren't there. They weren't on the spot when the shooting actually happened. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. We appreciate you joining us on today's show. You can get to the live video stream of this program at TrumpetDaily.com or at the Rumble channel. Just go to Rumble.com/TrumpetDaily. Every day my notes, the stack of notes gets thicker and thicker and thicker because I have so many leftovers each day. One of these days I'm gonna film a Trumpet Daily Extra right after the show is over, play it the next day, and I'll be out on the golf course like President Trump was with the best golfer in the world. That video, by the way, over 10 million views. That was just released on Tuesday. This is the Donald Trump. I played the clip for you yesterday, the talking head that said, he's not normal. Of course, you know about all the comments about how weird these people are. By the way, I think you might have heard that first on this show Monday, as we opened with the weird montage. And even up through last night, I've got a bit more myself for today's show. But even up through last night, what little news I saw, there's still conservative media. They're on this weird phenomenon. Hats off to our guys in the booth who are right on top of it coming into another busy work week. They're all in sync, aren't they? They all got the memo. They all say the same thing. We have a clip for later. They're talking about the big rally that Kamala had in Atlanta. And the guy, I think it's Raphael Warnock, he's talking about how the atmosphere is electric. Well, they bring in the hip-hop artists at the start. Okay, so the arena's packed. And then as soon as Kamala shows up for 15 minutes of speaking, people start filing out. So many fake and false narratives being created. They're trying to prop her up like it's the second coming of 2008 Obama. It's laughable, really, to see this. If you think about, here again, Cheadle's out. That was earlier this week. And then the new guy's in, Roe, I think his name is. He's just as disastrous as Cheadle. Has no answers. Won't reveal who the key players are. Who's the one that told Trump to go on stage? Who's the one that said, don't get him off stage? I mean, these congressional hearings, these senators and House representatives, they should be, subpoenas should be flying off the desks right now. There's an active concerted effort, as I said yesterday, to cover up the assassination attempt of a president, a former president of the United States. That's right. Google and the rest, they're already scrubbing the iconic photo. You don't want too many people to see that. That's inspiring for Trump followers. Well, they're not going to be able to delete everything. But you can be sure the way that the FBI has come in to cover everything up. There, it's just like the point my father makes in this book, America Under Attack. Remember, he was talking about the Mueller investigation and then the report thereafter and how it stretched on for years and years and years. And you've got all the text messages from Strzok and Page. The DOJ just paid them off, by the way. It pays to be a hack in the FBI, a partisan, a Trump hater. Part of the Get Trump movement. Well, they were leading the way. Lisa texting to Peter. Peter saying, we've got an insurance policy. There's no way we're going to allow him to be president. That thinking is still there. That's what led to the assassination attempt. How does Peter Strzok walk away with $1.2 million? Who signed off on this? How is nobody fired? Finally, Cheadle steps down. But no one else, as you heard from the hearing yesterday, no one gets fired. And then, of course, for their part, these congressional committees, they get the big soundbite. They sound tough. But whatever happens, who's ever held to account? They tried to murder the president of the United States. And how easy it would be to just kind of muddy the waters, just like I was saying with AUA. My father says, you know, make it a little bit difficult and complicated to get into. And most people just say, oh, I don't know. I don't know. In this case, they're going to say, look, I don't want to look at the roof. I don't want to look at the angles. I don't want to consider whether or not it was local law enforcement versus the Secret Service and where there was a breakdown in communication. I guess, so far as I know, it's just a lone gunman. A lone gunman, by the way, that actually did have a social media footprint where it's revealed that he's a rabid left winger. How about that? That was all covered up. We were lied to from the beginning by Cheadle, by this other guy, Roe, by all of them. And of course, it's not to say that all of them were in on it. All it takes is a handful and then get the Secret Service playing off against the local law enforcement and they're bickering back and forth. It would be no problem for the CIA to recruit crooks for the shooter and then a couple of dirty cops from local law enforcement and then a couple on the inside. It's already obvious that that agency, just like FBI, just like DOJ, completely politicized, certainly at the top. And then all the rest who aren't in on it, they're just kind of fumbling around. I guess we don't have communications with local law enforcement that saw the shooter 90 minutes before the shooting. How do they let this guy roam around, whether it's local law enforcement or Secret Service? Either way, none of this makes sense unless it was an inside job. There you go. It's obvious. Are there, just like I said last week, are there people inside of the deep state that would like to see Donald Trump dead? Of course there are. They wanted to put him in prison. They wanted to put him in prison without Secret Service. They want him dead. They've said the quiet part out loud. There were people that were upset that the shooter missed him. That's right out there online. And yet they can just casually make the statement like John Bolton did in the top there. Yeah, I mean, I've participated in some coup d'etats. Well, I mean, not here, but abroad I have. What? How is he not? How is he not indicted for admitting that on national TV? If the deep state would participate in and orchestrate coup d'etats abroad, do you think they'd do it here at home? If there was an existential threat here at home? That's the way they view Donald Trump. They've been saying that for years. These people are being exposed. They're traitors. They're guilty of treason. They tried to assassinate President Donald Trump. and Trump and his inner circle, they're onto it. You mean the snipers were alerted to this guy, and they were the snipers over near Trump. They were trained on this roof, but the guys just down the way, just looking out the window, look out the window a little bit to the left, and there you see Crooks, or at least you would see him. What, 7, 8, 10, 20 minutes before the shooting? People all around the building pointing at him. He's got a gun. He's got a gun. And they just, I guess they just couldn't communicate with the Secret Service around the stage on which Donald Trump was speaking. It's all by design, isn't it? Even the announcement from Biden, I'm stepping aside. And then Kamala. And then J.D. Vance, he's weird. These are all smoke screens. They tried to assassinate President Donald Trump. I can't say it enough, because you're not hearing it enough. I mean, Jesse Waters is giving some pretty good coverage to it on his show, but for the most part, we're on to Kamala Mania. And J.D. Vance is still weird. That's the weirdest thing that's happened this week. They go from he's Hitler to he's weird. How do you explain the thinking in these people? You can't explain it. There's derangement through and through. It's a mental disease with so many of them. How easy it would be for the Secret Service, sorry, for the CIA to just set up this assassination plot through a couple of rogue agents in Secret Service, a couple of bad cops, and then just throw the smoke screens out. Of course, Trump's supposed to be dead. The nation would be in mourning. And who knows how aggressive the investigators would even be. I'm talking about the congressional ones, because you know the FBI is coming in to clean up the crime scene to cover up the tracks. Well, if everything was just incompetence, then why wouldn't Roe come out and say, well, this was the lead agent at the scene that signed off on Trump going? They won't even reveal those names. And then, of course, Josh Hawley finds out that they haven't even been fired. None of them have been asked to resign. So who's held to account? I mean, this was the worst disaster for a Secret Service since, what, 1981? And like I've been saying, it's not like there haven't been assassination attempts before. And it's not like the deep state wasn't involved in the JFK assassination. You mean to say here we are in 2024 when we've been hearing over and over again, Trump is Hitler, Trump is Hitler, Trump is Hitler. You don't think there's anybody in the deep state? You don't think there's anybody in the CIA after the lawfare collapsed? After it was clear, he's not going off to prison. You can't incarcerate him. The assassination attempt was the last resort. Well, if you add to that, I guess, like we covered on yesterday's show, they're still going to try to cheat to victory. And they may just be preparing for this obvious, audacious, broad daylight attempt to cheat their way to victory. And say, you know, what are you going to do about it? What are you going to do about it? I mean, it's not like there's a lot of courageous fighters among the Republican Party. You know, you look at the way, I mean, they go after J.D. Vance for an obscure comment on cat ladies, of all things. And then you look at all this dirt on Kamala Harris. Who's going to expose it? Besides the New York Post. I mean, who's going to go there? Who's going to talk about it? Who's going to reveal how radical she is? Well, there's a few. Maybe she's going to be vetted a little bit more than the Dear Leader was back in 2008. We learned yesterday that Kamala has a pastor just as radical and as anti-American as Jeremiah Wright. That was Obama's pastor of some 20-plus years. It turns out Kamala has the same kind of pastor. They love pastors that hate America. They love pastors that think America is racist. Real clear politics. Acting Secret Service Director Ronald Roe was directly involved in denying additional security resources and personnel, including counter-snipers, to former President Trump's rallies and events. I mean, it turns out, and how perfect would this be? Coming from a god of justice, Cheadle steps aside, and then we come to find out that this Ronald Rowe guy, he may have been the one that actually called the shots the day they nearly assassinated Donald Trump. Rowe succeeded former Secret Service Director Cheadle, who resigned last week after bipartisan calls following her wildly panned testimony before the House Oversight. I guess that was last week. I might have said earlier this week. It was Rowe's decision alone to deny counter-sniper teams to any Trump event outside of driving distance from D.C., these sources asserted. Some whistleblowers are coming forward. Another one, by the way, coming forward to say there's going to be another assassination attempt. You would think that would set off alarm bells at the morning meltdown. They probably don't even mention it. They probably don't even care. They're hoping for this. They want this. Trump, after all, is an existential threat. You know, the guy golfing with the famous golfer, 10 million views. He's a normal person. He's a billionaire, but he's a lot more normal than these other crazies. For these people to say J.D. Vance is weird, when they're constantly promoting the perverse, the deviant, the bizarre. It was Roe's decision alone. I read that. Roe and FBI Deputy Director Paul Abadi are set to appear Tuesday, and so on. So Roe, we're now learning, he may be even more responsible for July 13 than Cheadle. The Washington Post: Trump team complained they were not told of suspicious person reports before shooting. Members of former President Trump's Secret Service detail and his top advisors have privately questioned why they were not informed that local police were tracking a suspicious person before that person opened fire. Yeah, why weren't we told? Well, I guess the radios couldn't reach each other. It's kind of like, you know, they didn't have wireless access to fly their drones, the Secret Service. Crooks did. Crooks was able to survey the space. He was able to come in with that hunting scope. You think this is just a comedy of errors here? This was planned. I mean, and it was planned, I'm sure, to be confusing, to pit the local law enforcement against Secret Service, to let them duke it out, to let them argue over it, and then the CIA can hide behind it all. Well, you know, we don't really know who's at fault here. We don't really know where the breakdown was. Trump's people, they're right to be asking, hey, how come no one told us? Members of the Secret Service detail that protects Trump and was with him backstage have complained to confidants and others inside the agency that they were never made aware of that warning. Three people, three witnesses, and they have to, of course they have to speak on the condition of anonymity because they'll be punished by Joe Obama. The dear leader will punish them if they come forward and speak the truth and make their identity known. So everything's covered in this veil of secrecy. Can't reveal the name. There's still an ongoing investigation, Senator. Senator, we can't really give you that information now. They also said they were not aware that the local counter-snipers eventually lost track of Crooks. They lost track of the threat. Cops everywhere, not enough, but there still were cops and snipers and Secret Service everywhere. But they lost track of the one threat that they spotted 90 minutes before the assassination attempt. On July 17th, this is from Sam's notes, ABC reported that the Secret Service spotted Crooks on the roof of the AGR building 20 minutes before he opened fire. So they noticed his suspicious behavior an hour and a half before, saw him on the roof 20 minutes before, and then I guess the two counter-snipers looking out the window where Crooks is just to their left. I guess they were off on a coffee break or something. ABC News, law enforcement officials investigating the assassination attempt on Donald Trump told lawmakers Wednesday that 20 minutes passed between the time U.S. Secret Service snipers first spotted the gunman on a rooftop and the time shots were fired. I mean, this is just, it's too hard to believe. It doesn't make sense unless it was an inside job. Then it makes perfect sense. Use the confusion then thereafter to just cover it up, to cover your tracks. And then you've got you've got the FBI to come in and investigate what happened. And they've been doing that. They've been doing that for 2.5 weeks. The Washington Examiner, acting Secret Service Director Ronald Rowe, said on Tuesday that neither the Secret Service countersniper teams nor members of former President Donald Trump's security detail had any knowledge that there was a shooter with a gun on the roof. It's my understanding these personnel were not aware the assailant had a firearm until they heard gunshots. Does that make sense to you? He's walking around with his ladder and his gun, riding on his bike, parking his car. Who knows what else he's doing? Crooks, I mean. He's surveying the scene with his drone and then the hunting scope. He's climbing on the roof for 20 minutes. The counter snipers, they locate him 90 minutes before. The snipers over near Trump, they had their scopes trained on him before. But then everything just broke down, and then there's just this veil, this dark cloud that covered everything, and they didn't know anything until the shots rang out. The hand of God, as I said on yesterday's show, intervened to save Donald Trump, pure and simple. Just like God says he'll do for America in 2 Kings 14. Save America by the hand of Jeroboam. So in one sense, as I said yesterday, you can step back, you can look at the bigger picture, and you can rest in faith, knowing that God's purpose and plan stands. And human beings can try to thwart that purpose all that they want, but it's nothing for God to flick a bullet just a little bit in another direction or to give a little puff of wind when needed or to prompt Donald Trump to tilt his head in the right direction so that the bullet just grazes his ear. This is a montage, not the most exciting content in this montage from the hearing yesterday, but still, just to keep it out front, as others try to cover this up, as others try to move on to the hip-hop artists at Kamala's rally in Atlanta, or to obsess over J.D. Vance's weirdness. Here's what was going on in the Senate yesterday, clip 12.
So let me tell you what I believe. I believe that the Secret Service leadership made a political decision to deny these requests. And I think the Biden administration has been suffused with partisan politics.
Is that Secret Service agents are not political.
Okay, you're not answering my question. But you know what? Leadership appointed by the president, is political.
So yeah, you're right. I am zeroing in on somebody. I'm trying to find somebody who's accountable here. And so you're telling me that the person who made the decision not to include this in the perimeter has not been relieved of duty. What about the person who is in charge of the interoperability of radio frequencies between local law enforcement and Secret Service? Has that person been relieved of duty?
No, Senator, because interoperability is a challenge, is a greater challenge than just one person. On that day, we had a counterpart system. It failed.
As the person who decided, who made the decision to send Donald Trump onto stage knowing that you had a security situation, has that person been relieved of duty?
No, sir, they haven't.
Has the person who decided not to pull the former president off of stage when you knew that, in your words, the locals were working a serious security situation, has that person been relieved of duty?
No, sir. Again, I refer you back to my original answer that we are investigating this through a mission assurance, and as opposed to zeroing in on one,
what more do you need to investigate to know
exactly what decision
you need to investigate to know that there were critical enough failures that some individuals ought to be held accountable? I mean, what more do you need to know?
And how did that site survey get approved? when it was so clear that that was a major threat from that building?
Thank you, Senator. So our Pittsburgh field office did the advance. During that advance, not only were they discussing amongst themselves about mitigating the line of sight, but also they were discussing with other agencies that were supporting it. Our counter snipers met with their counterparts. The team lead and team lead met. They walked the site. They identified the AGR building. And if I may, Senator, if I could point out something right now, if I may, and we will place this for the record, but this is the point of view. This is from the second floor of the AGR building. This point of view is the point of view where the counter sniper team locally was posted. The gold arrow indicates where the shooter fired from. Looking left, why was the assailant not seen? When we were told that building was going to be covered.
There you have the new director of Secret Service blaming local law enforcement for the breakdown. I mean, there's a shot right outside the window. That's you. If you're the counter sniper, that's you looking out the window, and that's the roof. You know, the steep, sloped roof that Crooks was spotted on. Cheadle, you put all the lies together, and you know it's a massive orchestrated cover-up from the top. That's not to say everyone's in on it. Really, if you step back, it's the perfect plot, a genius plan orchestrated by the CIA. I mean, look, this is just what they do. I mean, John Bolton's even, I don't even know if he's been part of CIA, has he? He's participated in some coup d'etats. Not here, but abroad. Takes a lot of work. Takes a lot of work to orchestrate a coup. So you bring in just a few people, tell them the grand strategy, everyone else is left in the dark, and then all of these breakdowns that just supposedly happened because, they left the window, or they didn't know that he had a gun. Does that make sense to you? They knew he had a gun at the very least 1 or 2 minutes before he shot. Probably 20 minutes. And then they couldn't communicate. It's a masterful plot. Again, just a few are in on it. And then muddy things up with this back and forth, back and forth. Secret Service. But as you heard there from Roe, why did they not spot the shooter? How dare he ask that question? How dare he put that on the Butler people? The Butler County law enforcement. He's heading the Secret Service. At least he is now. Their one responsibility, this is it, to prevent an attack on, in this case, a former president of the United States of America. This should have been peak level security services. As it happens, Roe, the guy you just saw there, he's furious. He's angry with the Butler County officials. And he's the one who denied extra security detail for Donald John Trump. He's a never Trumper. I don't have the evidence, but, you know, connect the dots. Do you think there's never Trumpers in the top tier of the Secret Service? They're all over the place in D.C. It's a swamp. There's lots of people that have contracted the virus. Get Trump. Trump derangement syndrome. Butler County, for their part, yeah, we've got the roof covered. Are there no corrupt? Listen, 2 seconds ago, Kamala and company were telling us there was corruption. The dear leader says this. There's corruption all through law enforcement, from the feds on down to the locals. Now, the dear leader would want the feds to take over completely, to get rid of the autonomy that local regions would have with their own law enforcement officials. But still, you go back to the dear leader's first 2 terms, and every day of the week, and twice on Sunday, we were hearing that this police, this local law enforcement agency, they were racist. That's why they shot the black perpetrator or whatever the case. There were so many of those cases happening all the time. But now I guess you just get a little infighting. You give the law enforcement on both sides the benefit of the doubt, and you just walk away and you say, you know, what can you do? What can you do? We should have had maybe a little bit more security detail, but outside of that, I mean, it's out of our control. It's just a random happenstance. Time and chance. I guess it happens to everybody. Well, if we're to believe another whistleblower, it's going to happen again. Which is why, as some have said, you know, Trump better get his own security detail. The call went out for Secret Service snipers to look at that roof. But somehow the ones inside the building lost track of the guy. They went off for a cup of coffee. Sundance says here, there are a growing number of voices pointing very specifically at the U.S. Secret Service and saying the level of incompetency in Butler County, Pennsylvania was not accidental. You can see why the regime's trying to change the subject. Because it's obvious. This was no accident. This was planned. It says here, indeed, as the fact pattern emerges, despite and perhaps because of the lack of public press briefings by DHS and Secret Service leadership, a strong argument is now gaining momentum that the Secret Service intentionally set President Trump up to be assassinated. In this horrifically possible scenario, willful blindness is the best alternative. Putting further fuel on the possibility of an intended collapse of security, the local Butler County SWAT team is now telling the public that Secret Service officials never met with them, nor provided secure communications channels between the SWAT members and the Secret Service. I mean, why would you turn over that part of the fairgrounds to local law enforcement when you couldn't communicate with them, when you didn't want to communicate with them, when you didn't want to be briefed by them? Supposing there's an existential threat coming from that region that they were responsible for, how are the Secret Service guys around the stage going to know? It was a setup. This was planned. This was a plot. It says here, nor provided secure communication channels and so on. The SWAT team had no way to tell the Secret Service of the threat they saw moving toward President Trump. This detailed revelation is very troubling. Of course it's troubling, but you see, just like the Mueller investigation, just like the Durham report, and now this, you know, there's all the lawlessness, and then there's the cover-up. Don't forget, as Sundance has also noted before, the dual-pronged purpose of the Mueller report to keep the investigation going into Donald Trump, the harassment, the persecution, and to cover up their own crimes. And my father, he lays special attention to that second purpose, to cover up their own crimes. It's a massive cover-up. It's so egregious. It's treason of the highest order. And so they've got to come in. They've got to feign the anger. They're really upset. How could this happen? They've got to talk about, you know, bumbling idiots that just didn't know what was going on, except for Crooks. I mean, he's brilliant. Everything worked for him. Everything worked for him perfectly, the 20-year-old kid. It was a setup. He was recruited, no doubt, and then they cleared the way for him to be the fall guy. I mean, it's just what they do. John Bolton brags about it. Orchestrating coups, well, not at home, I mean, but abroad. Abroad? Are you saying you go abroad to topple foreign governments? Yeah, I mean, yeah. Just a casual remark to fake Tapper. I guess it's not even controversial. Because, you know, we've really got to spend some time on J.D. Vance. He's weird. Jesse Waters is maybe, as I said at the top, he's probably had some of the best coverage on this story. He won't let it go, and he shouldn't. And neither should we. This is clip 11.
A Secret Service counter-sniper is predicting another assassination attempt before November. In an email obtained by Real Clear Politics, a Secret Service agent with 20 years experience on the counter-sniper team is announcing he's going to blow the whistle until all of his supervisors are fired. The counter-sniper says his mission is to prevent another JFK-style assassination. And the only reason that hasn't happened is because they've gotten lucky. He says Secret Service leadership is corrupt and states clearly, quote, "We all should expect another assassination attempt to happen before November. We've exposed our inability to protect our leaders due to our leadership." After this email went public, it was wiped off the Secret Service servers. There's a massive cover-up underway, and it spilled over into Congress. After Cheadle resigned in disgrace, her number two got promoted and testified today that the Secret Service screwed up, but the local police, it was really all their fault.
And so now we're into the blame game. The perfect plan. Genius! Genius. The CIA doing what they do. A coup against the political opposition. A coup d'etat. Take some work. Don't let everyone in on it. But listen, set things up to where you can take him out. He's an existential threat, after all. How many days are we away from the presidential election? I made this point earlier this week. I mean, it's a little more than 3 months. 3 months. Three more months of fireworks, of explosions, of cover-ups, of false narratives. We'll get into more of that when we come back. We'll see if Kamala Harris is thoroughly vetted, quite unlike the Dear Leader back in 2008. There's a few in conservative media sounding the alarm. But you listen to the regime media. Never mind that you've got the celebrities coming out, as they always do, to try to drum up support, to try to draw the crowds. They can't get the crowds on their own. Do you mean to tell me she's going to fill up an arena, Kamala Harris, for a 15-minute speech on nothing? She had to get the hip-hop artist. And they had to get all the ladies up there dancing. Provocatively. Popular culture. That brings in the audience. And then the audience starts to file out as soon as the singer is finished. We'll get into that and a little bit more when we come back. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. If you'd like to email the show, you can reach us at td@thetrumpet.com, or you can leave a comment at our Rumble channel, rumble.com/Trumpet Daily. If you would like to order America Under Attack or subscribe to The Trumpet Magazine, just call our 800 number, 1-866-930-3024. We will be right back.
Prosperity, government, trade, technology, stability, freedom. The last two centuries have been the exception in human history. How did we get here? The 19th century was dominated by an empire that exported civility, order, standards, and opened the doors for global trade. It ended slavery and implemented a system of governance that protected people's rights. And then in the 20th century, a new power came to dominate. Remarkably, one that would continue in the same traditions as its predecessor. For 200 years, the United States and Britain dominated the world stage. How did these two nations rise to prominence so suddenly? And why are their legacies so relentlessly attacked today? The astonishing truth is that your Bible prophesied the rise of Britain and the United States. It also prophesied their fall. The biblical identity of these two nations is the vital key that unlocks Bible prophecy. This lost master key to prophecy is revealed in Herbert W. Armstrong's most requested book, The United States and Britain in Prophecy. You must understand the biblical identities of these two nations to comprehend where we are in Bible prophecy today. To learn more about this vital truth, request your free copy of The United States and Britain in Prophecy.
Oh, tonight's rally is the top of the heap. The energy here is, as you can see, is electric. The rally's actually over, and still there's a great deal of excitement. You can feel it on the ground. I was actually with the vice president. I came down from Washington, D.C. with her. And as we were riding through Atlanta, you could see people lined up on the streets. You could see them all standing on bridges waiting to greet her to Battleground, Georgia. We know from experience in Georgia that when we show up, we win, that the path that leads to the White House goes through Georgia. And I think the vice president felt that here tonight.
People lining the streets for Kamala. I'm not buying it. Sorry. Sorry. The arena was pretty full because of the celebrities. But let's see. How about if we see the receipts on the people lining the streets of Atlanta for Kamala Harris? Never gotten one delegate. Never been in a tough race. Well, if she has been, I guess you could count 2020. She bows out instantly. Doesn't even make it to Iowa. How hard is it for the most liberal senator in Congress, that's what she was voted, to win elections out of the San Francisco region? My father's had a lot to say about San Francisco values. You go back to, I think it was 2014, I believe, we had Nancy Pelosi on the cover of the Trumpet magazine, hands raised, cheering as she became the Speaker of the House, celebrating San Francisco values. That's who Kamala Harris is. That's why she invited the celebrities she did last night. You would think there'd be a few more that would really go about exposing her radical roots. They covered it up with the Dear Leader. Well, as I say, there's a few, at least. Listen to this montage, beginning with Donald Trump talking about how ineffective she would be as a president, and then following that with a few remarks from conservative commentators. Clip two.
How would they consider a Harris presidency? Just in GOP.
I think they'll walk all over. I think
how so?
They'll look at her. I think they'll walk all over. She'll be so easy for them. She'll be like a play toy. They look at her and they say, we can't believe we got so lucky. They're going to walk all over her.
I hope they run all their ads on immigration because it will remind the American people every time they turn on their television sets what a complete and utter failure this has all been. I mean, if they were so proud, if they were so proud of their record, why is she working so hard to erase all evidence from the internet that she was, in fact, the border czar?
So when we learned that 92% of Kamala's staff quit, it raised red flags. How could she lead millions of Americans if she can't even lead 50? Gil Durham, who worked for Kamala when she was Attorney General of California, said the experience was unbearable. She was, quote, impossible to manage and took out all of her stress on her staff, usually women and lower level employees. Gil quit just 5 months into the job. Last straw, Kamala skipped out on a briefing and went berserk on a staff member to the point of tears because she was unprepared.
We have a brand new Reverend Jeremiah Wright. His name, Reverend Dr. Amos Brown. Now, last year on the official vice presidential Instagram account, Kamala posted a glowing picture of the Reverend with the caption, quote, well, it's always an honor to spend time with my pastor, Reverend Dr. Amos Brown of the Third Baptist Church of San Francisco. He remains a source of inspiration to me always. Now, this is the same pastor that told the San Francisco Chronicle, quote, I know America. America's a racist country, and the very same pastor who blamed racist America for 9/11/01, only 6 days after we lost 2,977 of our fellow Americans. He said, quote, oh, America, what did you do? What did you do 2 weeks ago when I stood at the World Conference on Racism when you wouldn't show up? His comments were so disgraceful, even Nancy Pelosi, of all people, who was in attendance, publicly rebuked the pastor and the sermon, and even reportedly apologized to the partner of a 9/11 victim who was in the audience. That partner told the Free Beacon that Brown's sermon represented, quote, the second worst day of my life. Even then Senator Dianne Feinstein left the event. Then Governor Gray Davis left the event. Kamala, she's embraced this pastor even more.
When she became the presumptive nominee, she called her pastor first thing. That's not 2008 with Jeremiah Wright. That's this past month. The Washington Free Beacon says here, after President Joe Biden, well, further on, Harris and Brown, the longtime pastor of San Francisco's Third Baptist Church, have known each other for nearly a quarter century. It's almost a carbon copy of Obama and Wright. Just fast forward a little over a decade and a half. It says here, Harris posted a picture of the two to the vice president's Instagram account and described Brown as an inspiration to me always. Less well known, however, is Brown's history of radical anti-American remarks that have elicited blowback even from San Francisco Democrats, as you heard there from Hannity, even from Pelosi, Feinstein. It's unbelievable how radically left-wing this woman is. It'll be interesting to see just how much of it is exposed. Will the lead up to the presidential election in 2024, this year, will it be similar to 2028? Or will Kamala actually be vetted? We'll see. This is from the New York Post. Kamala Harris's much older lover gave her a BMW and salary-boosting job as she climbed Democratic Party ranks. Here's a carbon copy of Fannie and Wade. It's just what they do. It's like I said the other day. AOC comes into Congress in debt, and now she's worth tens of millions of dollars. How does this happen? And they're going after Trump? For being dishonest or greedy or lawless? No. Look in the mirror. The New York Post says, as a young prosecutor, Kamala Harris was gifted a BMW and lavished with trips to Paris and the Oscars by a much older lover who also jump-started her meteoric rise in California politics, according to reports. It says here, the current vice president famously, everybody knows, had a relationship with Democratic Party kingmaker Willie Brown in 1994 when she was 29 and he was 60, and when he was serving as Speaker of the California Assembly. And he came out himself and said, yeah, she was extending sexual favors so that she could have this meteoric rise politically. That's how she climbed the ladder. I mean, this is Ezekiel 8, viewing abominations through the hole in the wall kind of activity. This is the kind of deviant behavior, as I say, that this side celebrates. And then they want to call J.D. Vance, who went to Yale on a scholarship, who served his country as a Marine, and is now married in a traditional marriage and family format. But he said cat ladies. These people are frauds. They're frauds. God, the Bible says to judge by fruits. Nobody has a perfect record. Far from it. But people just steeped in this sin-drenched world of ours and bragging about it, celebrating it. And they have the audacity to look at another more conservative side and say, you know, those people are just weird. They are just play the weird, the weird montage. This is 7, 6, and 8.
I didn't call his supporters weird. I think it's pretty clear that the two candidates are very weird by our standards. It's a more playful way of saying things. We don't have to say they're dark and they're dangerous and they're scary and head into that space. They're just weird, especially J.D. Vance. I mean, who talks about childless cat ladies? I mean, is there any other way to describe that other than weird?
J.D. Vance is something called menstrual surveillance. Okay, how much weirder can you get than that? And the whole outfit is obsessed and consumed with women's reproductive decisions. They really are. And that cat lady thing, man, that's going to haunt him for a long time.
Molly, the stats are there. More and more Americans choosing not to have kids, which again emphasizes why J.D. Vance's comments about childless Americans, childless cat ladies, could be so politically damaging.
Well, so what's interesting is this natalism that comes from an authoritarian playbook, right? That there need to be more white children, right? That's the idea that there's, you know, this is about great replacement theory racism, right? This is what this is. So don't misunderstand it for him wanting more children. He wants a certain kind of, you know, racist thing.
Of course. Racist. You knew they worked that in as well. Weird and racist. There you go. Vance is in a biracial marriage, but leave that aside. It's racism because he's a Republican. So it's embedded in, it's embedded into him. Just like the pastors for Obama and Kamala, no. They just know that racism is embedded into America. This is their spiritual food. The spiritual food that Kamala dines on. And Obama, too, for his part. This New York Post article. Their relationship. Speaking of Kamala and Willie back in the day, when she had this meteoric rise in San Francisco politics. Their relationship was well known in San Francisco, with the Chronicle describing Harris as the speaker's new steady and the Los Angeles Times calling Harris Brown's frequent companion. It says in November 1994, as his term as speaker was ending, Brown appointed Kamala Harris, who was then working at the Alameda County District Attorney's Office, to the California Medical Assistant Commission, a job which paid $72,000 a year and required attending monthly meetings. That's it, just a monthly meeting. Nice little cash haul of $72,000. Thanks to Willie Brown, her lover. The 90s version of Fannie and Wade. Yeah, just cash in on these government activities. God's assessment is spot on in Isaiah 3. It's spot on. It's sickness from head to toe, particularly in the head, particularly at the top levels of leadership in Washington and otherwise. It's a sick, sick world that we're living in. And as I've said before, I mean, it's not a sickness that's going to be cured by the other political side, by the political opposition. The problems run much deeper than that. I've got quite a few stories. You see them every day, the headlines, in smaller papers, generally speaking. Certainly not on Morning Joe or New York Times or wherever, but illegal aliens coming across the border and committing these atrocious crimes. These violent crimes, rapes, murders, and so on. I just don't have time to get into all of them. But the New York Post, illegal migrant who shot Texas cop was set to be deported, but judge gave him a second chance to stay in the USA. Got to have a second chance. And he took that chance to shoot up a cop. That's America. That's Joe Obama's America. That's America. With wide open borders, they're not sending their best, as Donald Trump so often says. They're sending their criminals. They're sending their mentally ill patients. And they're coming by the tens of thousands every single day. Hate to finish on a a negative note, but I'll just draw your attention very happily to America Under Attack. Don't forget the 800 number to request your free copy today. That's all we have time for on today's show, the fastest moving hour in broadcasting. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. We thank you for joining us on today's show, and we better see you tomorrow.